This morning we began a study. We began talking about another one of those short kind of postcard books of the Bible. We began talking about the book found in Jude. Tonight we're going to continue on with that study. This morning we talked about how that short book has such an important message for us. That book was written by the apostle that is mentioned in the scriptures in the Gospels, Thaddeus, and he is also referred to in the scriptures as Jude. The epistle's message is very simple. The epistle's message is to fight, to contend, and be ready to battle. Contending for the faith and fighting the good fight of faith is not just a good idea, as we talked about this morning, but it is absolutely necessary if we are to stand firm and not be undermined by the false doctrines of the world. For Jude, he had seen this happening with these Christians. He had seen them crept into the church, and he has said that they have taken the grace of God and they have made an excuse for immoral living. Jude's inspired directions tell him that these that do these things must be exposed and they must be stopped by the truth of the scriptures. The message of this letter is so very important to us because it is defending the gospel. It is standing up for the marvelous grace of God. It is standing up for the precious salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. It is defending and assuring, and the assurance that we have in the resurrection of our Savior. And it is we that must wage war against sin in this life. The exhortation of this apostle is simple, that you and I as Christians, we must stand up and we must be willing to stand for the Lord. It is a cry for Christians to simply mount the battle stations. That the enemy is not just satisfied with getting close, but what he wants to do is overtake the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants to malign it and he wants to change it to his own way of thinking. People, we are soldiers of Christ. Let us read again together the book of Jude. He says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons, who turn the grace of our Lord into licentiousness and deny our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all the things once for all, that the Lord, after saving the people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject the authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation of Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last times there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause division, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, and to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. This morning we talked about some of the wicked ways of the past. We talked about the unbelieving Israelites as they came out of the land of Egypt. We talked about rebellious angels who were not willing to serve God with his words, but they rebelled. And we talked about the immorality of Sodom and Gomorrah and how God destroyed it. We pick up our lesson in verse 8 of Jude as he uses more examples from the past. Here Jude levies a threefold charge against these that he warns of. These people are those who dream they can vainly pursue unholy courses of living and reject the authority of heaven. You and I see today in our nation these kind of radical ideas that come in by men. Today our nation is divided in the defense of what God gave to a man and a woman in marriage. We hear talk shows, and now even religious and denominational leaders say that we need to get over it, and we need to just simply get past it. Man feels somehow that he controls his own destiny. But brethren, we have nothing without God except eternal damnation. Jude has reminded these that the Israelites and that the angels who did not remain in their own faithfulness to God and the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, he says that then today there can be this same kind of wickedness, and we need to understand that God will hold us accountable as well. We must stand and defend as Peter directs us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, where he says, Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. There is a reference that Jude makes to the burial of the body of Moses. Many believe that the reference here is that God would not allow the body of his servant Moses to be used in contention against others, that God would not allow Satan to take the body of Moses and to somehow make it something that the people would worship and worship him and follow after the wicked ways of the world. And so God, through the archangel, stood against Satan. And he sends Michael, his archangel, to assure that Moses' body is hid. The issue is not about Moses. The issue is about God and his word. And it's exactly the same for us today, that we do not allow Satan to take the words of the new covenant and simply take it and pervert it in any way, fashion, or form and try to teach what man wants to hear. These that Jude is warning, he is warning them against being able to spiritually discern right from wrong. And he says that these only reach to the things and the wickedness of this world. The inspired writer says, woe to them. These that Jude speaks of have lost the ability to see what God's word says and the spiritual reasons for it. And Jude says that they're just like unreasoning animals. These have gone the way of ones like Cain. And Cain in his disobedience, and how he reached out and murdered his brother. He had gone the way that he wanted to go. He had sacrificed to God what he said God needed to accept. And when God rejected his sacrifice, he reached out to hurt the one that God had chosen. Cain was not obedient. Cain was defiant to God. And these had rushed headlong, that Jude says, into the error of their way, just like old Balaam had, because he was corrupted by greed. These have rejected the words of God, just like old Korah had, when he stood against the man of God, Moses, and he tried to rebel and take over himself. You remember that God caused the earth to simply reach out and to swallow him. Again, Jude says, woe to them. Jude goes on to talk about the utter hypocrisy with five eye-opening metaphors or figures of speech. Jude says, they are like hidden rocks that cause the shipwreck of souls. He says they are like clouds which hold the promise of rain, but they're simply empty inside. He says they're like worthless trees which bear no fruit. He says they're like wild waves of the sea which finally come to the seashore, but all they bring is waste and debris. And finally, they are like flashing stars across the sky, what we might even call a meteor or a shooting star, which blaze across the sky, and they catch our attention because of their brightness, but they disappear and they provide nothing. Finally, though, Jude reaches to the man of God, Enoch, the man who is said within the scriptures who walked with God. Jude says that Enoch stood for the righteousness of God, that it was prophet, and he prophesied about those who would pervert the truth, who would exchange the wickedness of mankind and call it the truth. Jude says in verses 14 and 15, it was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken about against him. Finally, Jude charges these false teachers with their grumbling, with their immorality, with their arrogance and dishonest flattery that they give to men in order that they're accepted. You and I can see this same thing if we open our eyes today in the world that we live in. So many in the religious world today are perverting the truth. They change it to what others want to hear in order that they can gain money, in order that they can gain number and popularity. Paul warned the young evangelist Timothy about this, that these same kind of false teachers, and those who would accept these kinds of false ways, he warns this young one. He says to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. We've got to contend earnestly. So how do we contend? Jude says in Jude verses 17 through 23, But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, In the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause division, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Jude reminds us that false doctrine is simply apostasy, and it is foretold by the wisdom of God. However, let us remember that God knows this, that decision. Jude admonishes us that we need to build ourselves, that we need to pray to God, that we need to keep the love of God and wait for the mercy that is promised through Christ Jesus, the hope that we have of eternal life. Jude says that these who are falling, these who are stumbling, these who are choosing the ways that they do to follow after these man-made ideas, choose eternal destruction. But he admonishes us and encourages us that you and I will remain faithful, and you and I will continue to provide the righteous example of the truth in our lives. He says, above all, we must keep our focus on the Lord. And we, if we listen to his word and follow after him, that you and I will be able to stand firm, that you and I will be able to be confident that one day we will stand before our King and our Master, and that we will stand there on the right side because we have chosen to follow the righteous words of God, not the ideals of men. As I said this morning, God will hold us accountable for the choices that we make in this life. The wickedness of men is not promised by God to be overlooked, nor is it promised to be rewarded by anything other than the punishment of eternal fire. The writer Jude is calling us today to come to attention and prepare ourselves to be ready to deal with the enemies that stand against the cross and do not follow after the Lord. This short book is a mighty lesson that has been preserved by God so that you and I might learn. I hope that you've enjoyed the study of this inspired book of the Bible, and that you are thankful that by God's word and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and by the wisdom of God, it has been preserved for you and I to learn. Today, we've taken the time to reflect upon the blessings that we have in the Lord and to realize that we must defend the Lord by His word in the face of whatever we may face in this life. The gospel is why we're here, people. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings salvation. Remember Peter's words in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. We must stand for book, chapter, and verse. Our confidence must be in the promise that the Lord has given it, and we must be faithful to His words. The Lord's promise is simple. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. In just a couple of days, I am to conduct a memorial for one who never was obedient to the gospel. I tell you how very hard that is. I do it because of their loved one is a Christian. But it is nevertheless so hard. One who, though he heard the truth, though he saw the truth being lived in his wife's life, he never took the opportunity to obey the gospel. He came and he visited with us several times and listened to the truth being presented. Sadly, he never was obedient to the gospel. The Lord says that death will come like a thief. He will not come in and say, in a few days I'm coming, just like He did to Hezekiah. God warns us now to prepare. People, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity for eternal life. There is no greater blessing that this life can offer you than to hear the truth and give you the opportunity to respond to it. Jesus simply says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a blessing that is that our Savior, by our Father's will, came to this life and He died so that you might have that promise today. That promise will be of no use to you if you won't obey Him. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then why not obey Him? By simply repenting of the things of this life, following after Jesus and His word, confessing that you believe that Christ is God's Son, the Savior, and be willing to be baptized and have your sins washed away. That is the blessings that Christ gives with His death, the opportunity to obey. Sometimes along the way of life, sometimes we make mistakes. But the love of the Lord never stops. The love of the Lord provides us a way. Through the admonition that James gives, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. We have the wonderful blessings from our Savior. He simply says to each of us, contend earnestly for the faith. Will you come to Him? I pray you will as we stand and sing.